Morning, Shady Shores. It's a day where we can't get together again except at your house, but you know it's okay. There is a day coming when we will be able to open our church and have everybody here. But today, we will be glad to be in your house, and we want you to celebrate with us today in everything that we do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize that in these challenging days, we often have our faith shredded thin. But Father, we recognize that even though we don't understand, we know that you do. And Father, we know that you are in control of everything, and we trust you so that we know that regardless of how it works, you will get the glory and your kingdom will be strong. I pray today that we would recognize that you love us and you care for us and you want the best for us. And Father, it is your love that has lifted us. In Jesus' name, amen. Has lifted us, hasn't it? Today our text comes from Matthew 5:22, and I'm going to read verse 21 to put it into context. Jesus said, you've heard it said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, blockhead or raka, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But he who says to his brother, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. choir is going to lead us now. Wonderful choir. Thank you. Oh, well. Oh, wait a minute. There's nobody behind me. I feel foolish. This text that we looked at today is a very interesting text. The question is, does it scare you when you hear that fool? I grew up. My mother had a wonderful thump. I didn't think it was so wonderful at the time. But if I ever used the word fool, she would thump me in the back of my head and get my attention. Because nobody was to use the word fool for anything, period. It was a no-no in those days. Well, when you come back to this text, you're going to go back and want to look at True Blood's book on the humor of Christ. Jesus is messing with the Pharisees. They have all their structured laws. And so Jesus said, well, let's see what we can do with that. If you're angry, you're going to wind up in court. If you use blockhead, you'll go before the Sanhedrin. And if you use the word fool, You're going to the fires of hell itself. And it's irony. It's preposterous. It is sarcasm. It is exaggeration. That's what Jesus is doing. He wants to get our attention on some of the rules that the Pharisees were using. Well, have you ever looked in Webster to find out what fool means? There are three very clear definitions. The first one is one who is deficient in judgment, sense, and understanding. The second one is one who acts unwisely on a given occasion. Or the third one is my favorite one, the one who has been or can easily be deceived. I'm a joker, and I love to joke around with my family and my friends. And sometimes you get into all of that, and you want to deceive them a little bit. You want to make them think something that's not true. And some of them just fall for it. Some people just fall for it. Well, did you know the Bible has a lot to say about fools? We think that this is the way, and you don't use that word anymore. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about fools, and the worst part is when you use God's standard for that word, that's extremely important. Scripture, the word fool is used over 100 times in Scripture. Foolish is used over 50 times in Scripture. And this is the way that it breaks down. There are 9 ways that it is interpreted. You're a fool if you are evil. 2, if you are a boaster. 3, if you are over self-confident. I like the 4th one, if you are empty. 5 is thick-headed. Now, I've got family members that I think are pretty thick-headed. Oh, they think I'm thick-headed. 6 is thoughtless. And how often do we think we are maybe unwise? That's 7. Or 8 is heedless. And 9 is rebel or rebel. Fool is used to refer to one who speaks as one, who become one, or play one. Tell you what is most important. When God calls someone a fool, we do well to listen. We do very well to listen. The last thing you want God to do is to refer to us as fools. Is that possible? Well, we're going to look at some scriptures today, and I hope that you'll write it down so that you can look it up. It's on the outline that'll be on the website. It's a matter of the heart. Psalm 14:1 says, this is the skeptical fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's atheism. However, today's English version translates it, fools say to themselves, God doesn't matter. That's pretty scary when you think God doesn't matter. Fools seem to think that they are the most brilliant things in all the world. It's intellectual. There's no God. God does not trace atheism to intellectualism. God follows it to a moral root. It's not that they can't believe in God. He doesn't want to face the consequences of his sin. He does not want to have to pay a price for what he's done. He doesn't want to think that he's made the wrong choice in life. His moral weakness pays its reward. The point is this. Man has degenerated to the point that some deny God's existence. That's a fool. Universal corruption is due to the denial of God. It's not hard to find out how that works. He denies in God in his very heart, who leaves him out of his future planning. Think about that. Someone from their heart, their source is the heart. The creed is there's no God. The fruit is corruption. Remember this. God reads and hears the heart language. Remember Eve? She knew God. She knew him very well. And yet, she couldn't take it. Can't have that fruit. What did she do? God doesn't matter. She took the fruit. And then you look at what happened following that. The world before the flood became so corrupt that God said, there's not a chance. We're going to start all over. Thank goodness there was a Noah who could build an ark and could save the world. But all of that started because Eve said, God doesn't matter. Then the next thing you know, the kids say, God doesn't matter. And then the neighbors say, God doesn't matter. And then the world says, God doesn't matter. So it is a matter of the heart. It's a moral root. A fool is someone whose moral root is terrible. Well, it's also a matter of the mind. If you want to write this down, Proverbs 14:9. Fools mock at sin. Like the Good News Bible, foolish people don't care if they sin. Did you know you can't just mock sin? People, yeah, they laugh about the fact that they are called, this is a sin, but I don't care. Sin mocks fools. The scoffing fool says, sin is a joke. No, it's not. He jokes about it. He mocks forgiveness. And yet I will remind you this. Sin is the greatest tragedy of the universe. The greatest tragedy of the universe. It's not funny. It's costly. Your sin and my sin, our sin, you know what it cost? God sent his son to die on a cross to pay the price for our sin. He was killed. He was buried. But on the third day, he was resurrected. He came back to life. I'll tell you another thing. He's coming again. There's no doubt about it. He's on his way. He'll be here and it will happen. So we better not mock at sin. By the way, how does God feel about it? Romans 1:18 and following. If you just want to write that down and hold on to that. It says the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness and wickedness. They have rejected what they knew was right. And I tell you what, it leaves no question about God's view of sin. God hates sin. God gave his son because of our sins. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He forgave us our sins in Christ. Talk about that in a few minutes. Sin is like a cancer that kills. It's terrible, isn't it? But sin is just like a cancer that kills, and it responds to only one treatment. And that treatment is Jesus Christ. The shed blood of Jesus Christ covers our sins. And so we recognize how precious and important that is. I'll read again from Psalm 53, 1 to 3. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable injustice. There is no one who does good. God looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there's anyone who understands and who seeks after God. Everyone has turned aside. Together, they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. There's one other thing about being a fool. It's a matter of treasure. You know, it's a moral choice. It's a heart choice. But it's a matter of treasure. What do you treasure? Luke 12, 20 and following. There's a rich man. He has a bumper crop. He fills his barn up, and the barn isn't big enough, so he builds a bigger one. And he kept on building until he got it all stored up, and then he got in his rocking chair, and he just kicked back and said, man, this is great. I'm taken care of for the rest of my life. I'm going to kick back, eat, drink, and be merry, and I'm going to have a great old time. Remember what God said? But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. And then who will get what you prepared for yourself? I love our family get-togethers, but the older I get, the more strange it is, because the kids all come in and they start putting their names on things. I don't want them to do that. That's my stuff. Yeah, right. They're just counting the days, just waiting. Well, they're really not. They are good kids and they love us and they take good care of us. But look at this. This man had to deal with eternity before he could deal with tomorrow. The secular fool does not have enough sense to know that money cannot buy welfare for your soul. This poor man, he was in real trouble. He had put all of his trust and his hope in what he could put in his barn. Luke 12, 21 says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. We need to be rich toward God. I like what the Amplified says. So it is with one who continues to lay up and hoard possessions for himself and is not rich in his relationship to God, and that's how he fares. The Message says, this is what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God. So let's think about this for a second. It's your heart, it's your mind, it's your treasure. And it's a choice that we make. Do you really want to be a fool by God's standards? Or do you want to be saved? Do you want to be in relationship with the Heavenly Father? In these days of very hard times and people who are very nervous and very worried about tomorrow and very worried about getting sick, don't you think that it's a time that we get right with God? That's the point of this message. You've got to deal with eternity before you can deal with tomorrow. How do you do that? You recognize that God loves us, and that Jesus is the Son of God, that He sent to earth to die for our sins, and we must receive Him in our hearts as our Lord and as our Savior. So if you wanted to know how to do that, and if you need to know what you need to do, pray this way. Heavenly Father, I know that You love me. And I know that You sent Jesus to die for my sins. And Father, I right now want Jesus to come into my heart. I want to receive Him as my Savior, and I want to follow Him as my Lord. I hereby pray that He would come into my life right now and help us, Heavenly Father, that we might all be right with You and walk with You in Jesus' name. Let's deal with eternity before we deal with tomorrow.